How is sleep going for you? Are you someone who gets the recommended 7 to 9 hours each night? Or are you constantly tired and dragging throughout the day? I have been on a journey for the past few months figuring out how to get more sleep, how to get better sleep, and to just improve my life through sleep. I'm so excited to share with you today what's been working for me with the hopes that it will help you.
Are you ready to make a change in your life but not sure where to start? Welcome to Moms on the Rise, where we believe that as moms and as women, we can choose to create a life we love. I'm Camille Beckstrand, a mindset coach and fellow mom on this journey of rising up in all areas of our lives. So join me and let's rise together.
Welcome back to Moms on the Rise, where we focus on small, everyday things that we can do as moms to help us become the very best version of ourselves. So thank you for being here. I just am so grateful for this community that we are building here, and it makes me so excited. But if you have a minute to leave a rating or review for this podcast, it would be so appreciated. So today we are talking about something that has become a really big part of my life. I guess it's a part of everybody's life, but lately I am even more passionate about it, and it is sleep. As I was looking back at my life, I think the last time that I consistently got 8 hours of sleep was about ninth grade. School days always started early for me. I was usually up around 5:30 when I was in high school. And then when I was like 14 or 15 years old, I got my first job. And I actually worked at a donut shop in high school, which meant that I had to be at the shop to make donuts early on Saturday mornings, usually around 5:30, 5:45. And as someone who tends to be more of a night owl, I have my whole life, I would usually stay up super late at night or later than most and then wake up super early. And so college in my early 20s, it was a lot more of the same, just late nights, early mornings. And when I started having babies, my nights became all about feedings and teething and kids having bad dreams. And I think that the last 17 years or so of my life, that's when I started having kids, I just feel like I haven't slept well, or maybe I haven't slept enough. And I recognize that there are seasons of life, and the season of life where I felt like I had the least amount of control when it came to how much sleep I got was when I had newborns, because I was pretty much on their schedule, which means I was waking up every 1 to 2 hours in the night to feed them. And actually, research shows that parents lose an average of 3 hours of sleep every night in their baby's first year. I know that the moms here can relate to this and can remember this, and you're just tired for that first year of your baby's life. And while I feel like my sleep got better as my children grew, there were still so many nights of interrupted sleep, and there still are today. I still have a six-year-old here at home. I've got a child with anxiety, and so there are lots of long nights still. But then I have teenagers and they love to stay out late, which means that I'm staying up late to make sure they get home and still waking up early to work the next morning. It's just a hard phase of life sometimes. And I know so many of you can relate to that. Well, life catches up to you when you don't spend a lot of time taking care of yourself. And that includes making sure you get enough quality sleep. And so within the last year, I've been having some weird health things pop up, and one of them being just feeling so fatigued and so tired. And so I went to the doctor and I had a blood work done and I had a physical, and I just told them how tired I was. And this doctor told me, of course you're tired. You are a working mom of four kids. Like, it's normal to be this tired. And that answer didn't sit well with me, because you know when you know that something is off in your own body. I'm going to be sharing more of my story in some upcoming podcasts and kind of sharing the journey that I've been on to get to the root of some of these health problems, but they were missed by just my general doctor and other people. But the place where I decided to focus on first was to work on my sleep, because I knew that this was connected to some of the roots of the problem. And so I just wanted to make sure, like, okay, let's start at the beginning, and I probably need more sleep. So that makes sense, right? Like, if I'm feeling fatigued, it could be a sign that I just need more sleep or even more quality sleep. Because when it comes to sleep, you want to make sure that you're getting the right quantity for you, which It's recommended that most adults get 7 to 9 hours, but honestly, there is a bell curve, and it can be anywhere from 5 to 11 hours, which is crazy because nobody talks about that. They just say aim for 7 to 9, but some people need less and some people need more. But the thing is, you want to make sure that you are getting enough quality sleep, like enough deep sleep that you really are rested and your body really had a chance to repair and to rest at night. So today, I wanted to share with you some proven sleep tips on how not only to get more sleep, but to get better sleep, because sometimes we can't control the quantity. We are just depending on our stage of life. We may not be in control of how many hours of sleep we get, but we can always control the quality of sleep that we get. Well, not always, but a lot more often. Okay, you ready? So tip number one, increase your light exposure, especially natural light. I am now working with a practitioner that I love, and she's actually coming on the podcast in a few weeks. And one of the things that she recommended for me was to get outside every day for 10 to 15 minutes. Now, I know that this sounds kind of silly, but as I was looking at my life and kind of thinking of the past few years, I realized I really wasn't getting outside very much. As someone who works from home, I just wasn't going outside, and I didn't realize this until she pointed it out to me. Because what I would do is I would get the kids ready for school and then out the door, and then I would plop down in front of my computer until they came home from school. As soon as they were home from school, I would turn into mom mode, and it was like sports practice and music lessons and grocery shopping and making dinner, and then put the kids to bed and then clean up the house a little bit and then repeat the entire process the next day. And really, I wasn't taking any time to get outside. So now I take just a quick 10-minute walk around the block every single day, rain or shine, to give my body and my brain that exposure to light. Even on cloudy days, this is super beneficial because what happens is the light comes through our eyes and it sends signals to the brain that helps optimize sleep hormones later that night. So we've all heard about our circadian rhythm, right? We each have our own rhythm that is unique to us, but getting that light exposure each day, especially in the morning, is going to help with that rhythm. It's going to help your brain and your body know when it's daytime and when to use your energy and when it's nighttime and time to shut down to sleep. I will also link to a light therapy lamp that you can use. It's under $20, but if you are getting ready for work early in the morning before it's light out, or in the winter time when there's just cloudy days and it just feels dark, this is a great way to get that light exposure in to help your body know when it's time to be awake and when it's time to be asleep. The science behind it is so cool. And if you want to learn more about it, just Google it. There are so many benefits to it. So if you want better sleep, throw those curtains open, let the light in, focus on getting more light exposure and more natural light every single day. Tip number two, establish a consistent bedtime routine. So I want you to think for a minute about what you did for your babies and for your kids, and maybe what you are still doing for them and with them as their bedtime routine. So with my babies, it was usually like a warm bath and then one last feeding and then reading them a little story and then dimming the lights and turning on white noise and then gently laying them down to sleep. It was this whole process, step by step. And then with my older kids, like they take a shower at night and then we read them a book in bed and then we have prayers time and then just a little bit of quiet talking before they go to sleep, like 1 minute just to check in with them, let them say anything else they need to get out. But in both cases, there's this designated bedtime routine that tells their brain it's time to prepare for sleep. We consistently do that because we know that's going to help our babies know it's time to sleep, or help our toddlers or our kids or even our teenagers. Like, we have these rhythms that we follow to help our bodies know and our brains know that it's time to prepare for sleep. Well, guess what? You need that as an adult too. And I promise you that scrolling mindlessly for an hour or two before going to sleep is not the routine that your body and your brain needs. So what does a bedtime routine look like for you as an adult? Just like you did with your kids, maybe it's dimming the lights, which we just talked about your circadian rhythm and natural light is great in the morning. Like, dimming the lights at night is going to let your brain and your body know, oh, it's getting dark. It's time for bed. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's taking a warm bath or warm shower. Maybe it's a nighttime skincare routine. Maybe it's watching a show, just one show. We're not binging here, but just maybe one show to help you relax on Netflix or something after you brush your teeth. Like, what is that routine for you? Whatever it is, consistency is key. Just like with our babies when they were little, we had to be consistent in that bedtime routine to put them to bed. You want to try and do something similar each night, around the same time each night, and it will signal to your brain that it's time to sleep, which is going to help you get a deeper, more restful sleep. Our brains seriously are so powerful, and it's so cool that we have research about these things that we can do that are going to help us so much. Okay, tip number three, brain dump. How many of you have been so tired, and then when you lay down, it's like your brain turns on and starts thinking about all the things that you didn't do that day, or big things coming up tomorrow, or worries about finances, or your kids, or your relationship, or work, or like all of the things, right? It's like my brain would come alive when I would lay down on the pillow, and Jared would lay next to me and snore away while I was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders instead of sleeping. And so we want to train our brain that bed and our pillow is for sleeping, not for worrying or thinking about things or stewing about what we have to do tomorrow. And so research has shown that before you go to sleep, take 10 to 20 minutes and do a brain dump. If you are somebody that has anxiety or struggles with like nighttime anxieties, you're going to bed, this is going to be a game changer for you because you want to get all of those worries out of your brain. So just keep a notebook on your nightstand or by your bed and have a pen right there and just start writing. You could set a timer for about 10 to 20 minutes or however long you want to spend and just write down all of the things that are bouncing around in your head. You can even ask yourself, like, what is it that is worrying me right now? Or what are the things that I can't stop thinking about? It might even help you to draw a line down the middle of your paper. And with each worry, you could even write the best case scenario on one side and the worst case scenario on another side, just to get your brain thinking about, oh, there are solutions for this. And while I'm stewing about worst case scenario, best case scenario could happen as well. Some other ideas of things you could write about are stressful things that you dealt with today. Or maybe you want to take it the other direction and write some joyful moments that you had today. Or you could even write down your to-do list. And that way you know when you wake up, okay, I have a plan and I know what I need to do. What's cool about this is that you literally train your brain to get out all of these running thoughts in your head before you go to sleep. And it will help you calm your nervous system down. It will clear the clutter from your mind, and it will just help you get a more relaxing sleep. Research has shown that if you do this every night for 2 to 3 weeks, you will probably get to a point where you don't have to do it every night anymore. That's all it takes to train your brain that your bed is not a place for worries or anxiety. And so when you are finished writing, tell yourself that it's okay to go to sleep now. It's okay to rest now, and that you will take care of any other problems in the morning. Tip number four is make your bed and your bedroom a no phone zone. So the benefits of this tip are actually twofold. First of all, our phones and our electronics emit a blue light, and blue light actually suppresses the body's release of melatonin, which is a hormone we make that helps us to feel drowsy. I'm sure you've heard of it before. You can even get supplements for melatonin, but honestly, any light can suppress melatonin, which is why dimming the lights at night is so good. But blue light at night does it even more powerfully. Now, this blue light is awesome during the day because it's going to tell our bodies, oh, wake up. But at night, it's not helpful because it's forcing our brain to stay awake. My family and what we do with Jared and I and our kids is we have a charging station in our kitchen where all the phones are turned in each night. We want our kids to get good sleep and we want ourselves to get good sleep. So by putting our phones not in our bedrooms, I feel like that is a good step in that direction. And we actually put our phones on the charging station about an hour before we have to go to sleep so that our brains have time to wind down. When your phone is in your room, you might compulsively check it throughout the night. If you get up at night with a baby or to use the bathroom, chances are pretty good that you will check your phone and see if you missed anything. And that blue light is going to wake your brain up. And if you read a notification or a text that is alarming or something going on or something about work, like your adrenaline will start to pump and the hormones in your body and your body's response will keep you awake. What I love about not having my phone in my room is that it's easier to have phone free time in the morning when I first wake up. And I talked about this a few episodes ago, but starting your day off scrolling your phone, reading texts, checking emails, having FOMO when looking at Instagram and all the other things is going to give all your energy and all your brain power to your phone. Own your power. Keep it with you. Start your day off by doing what you need to do for you instead of letting those notifications rule your day. 89% of Americans check their phones within the first 10 minutes of waking up, and 75% of Americans sleep with their phone in their bedroom. Now, I understand a lot of people use phones as their alarm clock, and a lot of people are like, what if there's an emergency at night? Well, here's the thing. We didn't used to have cell phones back in the day. I have always used an alarm clock, and even now, I just have Amazon Echo next to my bed. It has a clock on it, and I just say, Echo, wake me up at 6:30 a.m. or whatever time I'm waking up, but set that every single night. Also, there are certain notifications that you can set on your phone to have your phone be silent, but if there is an emergency, somebody can call you. If they call you more than two or three times in a row, I think that it will ring. So I will hear the phone ring if there's an emergency. Obviously, if my kids are still out, I'm going to keep the phone by me so they can reach me. But for the most part, there hasn't been a situation where I did need my phone in my room. And if your reaction to this tip is, I could never not sleep with my phone in my room, then you probably need to try this, because your phone could possibly be an addiction. The quality and quantity of good sleep has decreased as phone usage has increased. So there is a correlation here. And if you really want to improve your sleep and your mornings, try it out. Okay, tip number five, lower the thermostat. I am typically a cold person. I am just always cold. My feet are cold, my hands are cold. And when Jared suggested that we try this, I thought he was crazy. But here is what I have learned. When you're trying to fall asleep, your body temperature needs to drop a degree or two to initiate that sleep. Like, who knew? Who knew that we needed to get a little bit colder? So to help your body fall asleep faster and to facilitate this body temperature drop, you have to sleep in a cooler room. Well, you don't have to, but it's a really good way to help your body do this. So if your room is too warm, your body is going to be working hard to drop your body temperature. And the way it will do that is through sweating. And no one wants to sleep in their own sweat, right? And you just feel hot and you feel uncomfortable. So adjust the thermostat, take it down a couple degrees and see if you notice a difference. Research shows that the best room temperature for sleep is 65 degrees. But honestly, it can vary between 60 and 68 degrees Fahrenheit. But we usually stick to about 68 degrees at our house. We're on the high end of that, and it has been awesome. Since making that switch, I do sleep better, and I'm also less sweaty. I do have an electric blanket that I use to warm up my bed a little bit before I crawl in, but then for the rest of the night, that room temp is the perfect temperature for me. So there you have it. There are my five tips to help you sleep better, tips that I swear by, things that I have been doing. And there are so many more tips, even more that I do myself, but these are the ones that I started with, and they have made a world of difference. Just by improving my sleep and working on getting a little bit more each day has helped so much with how I feel. It's helped with my fatigue levels. It's helped with my immune system. I've hardly gotten sick this winter, and just my overall health. So here's to all of us getting more sleep and getting better sleep. But thanks for joining me today. I hope that you have an amazing day. Just keep on rising. Every day, we're just working on being a little better, and we will see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Moms on the Rise podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the Mommy Tummy Fix program. If you are interested in learning more about how to take care of your body from a place of love, head over to the mommytummyfix.com and join our community of over 10,000 women who are finding ways to live a complete and healthy life, one small choice at a time. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, a rating, and follow along so that you don't miss a single conversation. Keep on rising.